Mike Lattis.
Well, if we have everyone, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Yes.
So we have this special meeting tonight, and I want to welcome everyone. Josh is going to present the proposal from Utah Trust. We got Olympus's proposal in, and I sent you guys a basic copy of that. Of course, it's not the whole book, or we'd be here for 3 hours, but all the highlighted stuff is there, anything that you need to know. So I'm going to let Josh go. And then after he's done his presentation, we'll let him and Ryan go, and then we'll talk a little bit and see if there's, if you have questions for him, you can ask that anytime when he's finished. And then when he's gone, then we can all just discuss a few things between us, okay? All right, Josh, it's all yours.
Okay, well, thank you for having us. It's we regret that we're not down in Boulder with you guys. Ryan and I are both from the north side of the state, but we have spent a lot of time that way fishing. We know the South Slope has those top secret brook trout. We won't tell anybody, but we are aware of them, and we come down and catch them every once in a while. So, but we appreciate the opportunity to present to you and give you a little bit more information about the trust and tell you how we've come into existence. I'm going to share my screen. If you guys can let me know if you can see this okay.
Looks good, guys, on my end.
All good. Right. So you guys can see the screen all right?
Elizabeth?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sounds good. Well, we've been working with Judy for a couple of months now, just getting some, well, both Judy's, I should say, getting some information put together to provide a quote on for Boulder Town for your property, liability, and auto insurance. Before we get into this quote, I'd like to give you guys a little bit of a background on the trust. I've got Ryan here with me as well. Ryan, so I'm your a risk finance consultant. I handle the Wayne and Garfield area and a couple other counties down that way. So I'm very familiar with all your surrounding neighbors. And Ryan is the manager of our department. And so I've invited him to be here as well. But I'd like to, he'll be jumping in here and there. And I'd encourage you guys, if you have any questions, feel free to stop us. But we are, we're from the Utah Local Government Trust. The trust has been in existence from the 70s. But we started doing liability, property, and auto insurance in the 80s. And at that time, there was a what we call a hard insurance market. And this was a time when the national carriers out there weren't being very kind to municipalities. And what I mean by that is they didn't like a lot of the risk they were insuring. They didn't like that they were on the hook for the police and the fire and the EMTs and a lot of the exposures that come with cities and towns. And so around that time, you started seeing a lot of insurance pools pop up. These are groups that other cities and towns and counties that have pooled their resources together to create their own insurance policy. And these pools are backed by reinsurance carriers, but they have policies and the trust especially that are specific to municipalities. So at this moment right now, that this is actually a Time article from the 80s when this happened. And you can see there's a municipal building there. And the cover says, "Sorry, America, your insurance has been canceled." And in the state of Utah, since pools have popped up out and the trust now insures 92% of the cities and towns in Utah. We're not for profit. We don't collect any commissions. We don't have quotas. We are a government entity as well. So we're a political subdivision of the state, and we were created by state statute. And it's interesting to note that this way of municipalities procuring insurance has become the norm not just within Utah, but across the country. There's about 85% of municipalities nationwide that are partnered with a pool for their insurance. Of course, there are some cities out there that are large and they're big enough to self-insure, you know, cities like Salt Lake City. But 85% of municipalities nationwide do partner with the pool, and that's over 90,000 public entities. So that's who the trust is. We are and here to help. So
I might just chime in real quick. Josh, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I was just going to say, you know, when you look at this, there was really a crisis in the insurance market way back then. And the question now is, well, what about today? You know, are we still in an insurance crisis or not? Well, after this insurance crisis happened, or this hard market that Josh talked about, once that happened, then in the early 2000s, we saw a soft market. And that's where you could buy lots and lots of insurance for cheap, like, you know, millions of dollars of coverage for cheap. And so we had a soft market. Well, we've gone back into a hard market, and that hard market started about 2 years ago with COVID. So in 2020, so we're back into a hard market. And so pools, once again, like the trust, are showing their value because we're not abandoning local governments. You know, we're not turning our back and saying, well, we don't like water and sewer and public works and all these things that you guys do. That's all we do, actually. That's all we insure. So we are very friendly to that. But once again, we're seeing commercial carriers back out of the market. And even some have said, well, we're not going to insure municipalities at all anymore, or we're not going to insure law enforcement anymore. And we're seeing that now in the market. So of course we won't do that. That's what we're here for. But anyway, we're seeing it again.
That commercial market's kind of gone the way of real estate and gas and property. I mean, everything that's going up right now, the insurance market has been doing something similar, but the trust, being in municipal insurance pool, we are a lot more insulated from those types of fluctuations and exposures. So anyway, moving on. So the trust right now is comprised, Ryan, how many members are we at right now? I know this number is constantly growing, but I feel like you have a recent tally of how many members strong the trust is.
So we just had a few new members join this month. So we are up to 561. And so those members, all those little dots that you see on that map, those are our cities and towns. There's about 250 cities and towns in the state. 92% of those are with the trust. And then also we have a lot of the bigger counties and hundreds. We have about 300 special service districts, like mosquito abatement or water, sewer, fire districts, that are also part of the trust. And those are what all those little dots represent.
And I wanted to give you guys a better feel for cities and towns in your area that we work with and have worked with for years. So I included, you're the last city inside of Garfield County that we do not insure. We insure every other city in Garfield County but you guys, but we also do the surrounding counties as well. So I included a couple other cities in there that you guys are familiar with, like Torrey and Bicknell. Escalante came on 7 or 8 years ago. Bryce Canyon City came on about 4 years ago, and the others have been with us for years and years and years. Panguitch, they had all of their coverage with us minus their property, but with this hard market that they're in, that we're all in right now, they couldn't get a good deal on property insurance. They came to us and we saved them significant money, and we increased their coverage quite a bit. So Panguitch is fully insured too. Yeah.
Hey, this is Jim. Hey, you guys already cover Boulder. You guys cover Boulder Farmstead Water Company. You're already So you're already in Boulder.
So we cover your water company. Okay. That's awesome. Are you on the board with that water company?
I'm not on the board. I'm one of the certified operators.
Oh, you are. Very cool.
Nice. That's well, awesome. You're in great hands.
No, we like you guys. Never had a problem. That's why I told Judy.
That's good.
A note, I talked to Camille, in Panguitch for the county. And I just wanted to let you know, while since he had that up, Camille said they've been very satisfied with Utah Local Trust. So I just thought I'd throw that in there because I did ask her about it. So.
That's good. We really enjoy working with Camille. She's great. Well, that is awesome. Well, I'm going to keep going through here. This is one of the things that we did when we, whenever we look at quoting insurance, we never want to leave an unturned stone. So in other words, we want to be sure that we're creating an apples to apples quote. We don't want to take your coverage down in any way. Of course, we want to match the deductibles that you currently have or improve them. And we want to do the same thing with your limits. In going through the coverage comparison, Ryan and I discovered an array of quite a few coverage enhancements that Boulder City, that Boulder Town could take advantage of. And I wanted to just review those enhancements with you. These are areas that we would be improving your current insurance. And I told Judy from the get-go, if there's anything that stood out to me that we noticed that your current carrier is doing better right now or has better limits on or better deductibles, that we're going to be straightforward with that as well. At the moment, the trust seems to outshine as far as deductibles and coverage and services as well, but I'd like to review those with you, and feel free to stop me if you have any questions at all. So right now, you guys have deductibles on auto liability of $500. The trust, there's $0 deductible on that. On public officials, this is public officials' errors and omissions, so it's liability coverage. You have a $1,000 deductible on that. There's $0 deductible with the trust. You have a $1,000 deductible on your employment practices, $0 with the trust. You have an employee benefits deductible. That's employee benefits liability of $1,000 and no deductible whatsoever with the trust on that. Just so you know, your deductibles with the trust on property, they're $1,000. Your property, you also have a $1,000 deductible on property with your current carrier. And then your deductible on auto physical damage with the trust is $500. And your current deductible with your current carrier is also $500. So on those two areas were the same, but these are the areas where we would be improving your deductibles. So any questions there?
Same coverage?
Yep, same coverage. Yep. Same coverage, well, a little bit better. I'm going to go over limits with you now. So with your limits of insurance, one of the things that's important to note is governmental immunity. Governmental immunity is it's state statute, it's legislation that essentially says public entities can only be sued for so much. And of course, there are instances and certain circumstances where you could be sued, and it could go above and beyond what the governmental immunity amounts are, but those are rare. They're usually with civil rights cases or wrongful deaths. But for the most part, governmental immunity extends protection to government entities. And right now that tort cap is set at about $3.1 million. And so the big thing is you want your per occurrence limit. So that's the amount of any claim, that the max amount of any claim that you can have. You would ideally want that to be above $3.1 million. And at the moment, your auto liability limit's at $2 million. So you're a little bit below that. With the trust, we got you a limit of $5 million. Your public officials' errors and omissions limit with your current carrier, it's $2 million per occurrence and then $4 million aggregate. So you can have the max of $2 million in any occurrence, up to $4 million in claims per year. With the trust, you have $5 million per occurrence and $5 million aggregate. So your full aggregate limit is available to you at any time. And that gets you well above those tort caps with governmental immunity. Employment practices, it's the same thing. You have a $2 million, $4 million. With the trust, you're $5 million across the board. The same goes with your general liability, your employment benefits, and your crime. Your crime is a little bit different. You have a $50,000 crime policy. At the trust, we have several members that need quite significantly larger crime policies than that. And so we've procured a $5 million crime policy, and everybody that's a member of the trust benefits from that. So you guys would actually have a $5 million crime policy with the trust as well. So that quite significantly improves your crime coverage.
And that's a dedicated limit per member, and it's also per occurrence. So that 5 million is per occurrence. It doesn't even specify an aggregate. Hopefully you wouldn't need it though. We did have a few crime claims last year. Most of those deal with employee theft. And you probably saw, if you watched the news, which no one likes to do that anymore because it's always negative, right? But you probably saw a few of these that we paid in the news this last year. One of them was in Utah County. One was in Tooele County. Pretty big fraud claims that we paid.
And the other nice thing that's part of this coverage is you do not need to have a treasurer's bond with our crime coverage. It eliminates the need for that treasurer's bond. I don't know how much you're paying for a treasurer's bond right now, but if you are, that's a bond that could be canceled as this does meet the requirements that are set forth by the Utah Money Management Council. So these are a couple of enhancements that you did not, that as far as we could tell, you did not have on your current policy. And I wanted to point these out because these aren't lines of areas of coverage that are flimsy or whimsical that are unimportant. These are important, crucial pieces of coverage that we make sure all of our members have. And I wanted to make sure that you're aware that we are offering these with your proposal and these would come included. Earthquake and flood are obviously big ones. Flood damage happens quite regularly. You saw what happened up in Yellowstone just recently, and that can happen anywhere. We saw some flash flooding down in Springdale last year. Springdale is a client of ours, and we had our claims manager on the site within hours when that happened. But we feel like flood is a very important and necessary piece of coverage that cities and towns need to have. I'm going to let Ryan talk a little bit about the cyber coverage. Cyber is a very, especially in this day and age, a very, very crucial piece of coverage that at the moment the city is not covered under, and we will be extending cyber coverage to you as well. So if Ryan, if you're okay with it, will you kind of give them a little bit of a rundown on cyber insurance?
Yeah, I will. So I've been in the insurance industry for 14 years. Even as soon as, you know, maybe nine years ago, we couldn't pay people to take cyber coverage. You know, we couldn't give coverage away for free on cyber. Now it's a huge deal. And, you know, sometimes there's the notion that, oh, well, we're kind of small. We don't have a lot of computers. We don't, you know, really have a big cyber footprint. But actually what we've discovered is sometimes it's our smaller members that are more vulnerable. And the cyber claims that come in run the gamut, you know, from A to Z. We see cyber claims that could be, you know, the emails, the spam type emails, where they're just trying to trick you, all the way to a cyber breach or system lockup where they lock up your systems and hold it for ransom. And so the nice thing about this cyber coverage is it comes with both first party coverage and third party coverage. So first party is for your systems. So if your systems are hacked and you don't have access, you would have coverage on a first party basis. If there are third party damages, meaning that you have maybe you guys collect invoices for the, you know, local water bill or sewer, you know, or something like that, and you have personal identifiable information in your system and that's been compromised, then this would also extend coverage for that. And, you know, credit monitoring and notification to those individuals would be part of that. So normally what you would see is a separate policy for cyber with a separate premium attached to it. In this case, the cyber comes to you at no additional cost. And so really the prerequisite to having cyber coverage with the trust is having your property coverage with the trust, which is one of the coverages that we're proposing to you. And so you would get that at no additional cost. There's essentially a $2 million limit on it, and the deductible matches your property deductible, which is $1,000. And I'll tell you, you know, forever and ever and ever, we never had any cyber claims because it was just unheard of. You know, cyber is the newest type of insurance out there, really. Even though it's been around for 8 or 10 years, it's kind of still in its infancy. But we had 2 or 3 cyber claims just this last year that we paid on. And so it's definitely a growing exposure. And so we're offering that to you as well.
I would point out too, if you were to go purchase cyber insurance on your own, you'd pay tens of thousands of dollars. It's one of those things that it's so expensive these days to insure. And that is one of the other benefits of being with the trust. So,
and just to give you an idea, we have a large city. I won't, even though it's all public information, I'll leave their name out of it since this is recorded, but we have a large city in Utah that wanted excess cyber coverage because they're so big. I mean, they have thousands of employees, and just for their excess cyber, so that's just cyber stacked on top of cyber, they're paying about $160,000 for just an excess cyber policy. So it's 2 million additional on top of the 2 million, which we wouldn't recommend for a city or town of your size, but it just goes to show how expensive it can be. The cyber anyway, it's very, very hard market.
So that, thanks, Ryan. I appreciate the info on the cyber. The other area is pollution. We do first and third party pollution as well. Pollution is kind of an afterthought for a lot of groups, but every once in a while we will see a contamination on a member's property. So that would be your first party pollution coverage. But there's also pollution coverage if you were to contaminate a third party. You think to yourself, like, how in the world would we ever contaminate somebody else's property? But it can be as simple as an auto accident where your oil pan breaks and, you know, it leaks into a local stream or somebody's lawn or you know, just any property that needs cleanup, all the way up to a big environmental problem. So that's coverage that it's extended to you. And similar to cyber, it's part of your property coverage. And it comes at no additional cost. We just have a policy that covers all of our membership and it gives you $2 million in coverage. These last four, these are areas that don't generally trigger insurance and a lot of insurers won't even touch. And those areas are land use, defense, malfeasance defense, injunctive relief, and declaratory relief. With land use and malfeasance, that is an area that's tough to procure insurance on. But we wanted to build in costs so that we could assist our members. And malfeasance is essentially an illegal act. Malfeasance is somebody at the city doing something illegal and somebody suing the city because of this illegal or criminal act. And one thing that we've realized is we've had a lot of member entities that have elected officials that have been accused of malfeasance, but that doesn't mean the actual malfeasance has happened. And malfeasance isn't covered by insurance because it's an illegal act. Insurers won't touch it. But we realize that we need to still be able to protect our elected officials if somebody accuses them or our city officials or anybody that works at the city. And so we have malfeasance defense costs that still trigger the insurance to come in and defend you. The last two are injunctive relief and declaratory relief. Injunctions, they can be served against the city. Usually they don't involve any sort of compensation or monetary means, but they do ask the city to stop doing something. We recently had an injunction served against a member that they were doing some road work next to a school bus stop. And the neighborhood residents sued the city. They served them with an injunction to say, hey, we don't want this bus stop to be stopped right now. This is where our kids get picked up. We don't want this construction to happen right here. But it was time-sensitive construction, and we defended them in that case. So that they and we ended up working out a resolution in the process. Declaratory relief is, well, Ryan, maybe you could speak a little bit about declaratory relief. I know it's just briefly, sure. If you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. So declaratory relief, sometimes maybe the council will make a decision that people don't like, right? And so they'll file a suit to say, okay, we want a court to decide if you know, they can make that decision or not. You know, we want a judge to decide. And so as you can see, that's not something that would typically fall under like a general liability policy. So if you think of like your homeowner's insurance, you know, somebody slips and falls on your ingress into the house because you didn't salt your walks and they break their arm. Okay, you're liable. You caused bodily injury. Or perhaps one of your city vehicles crashes into someone's fence and takes out their fence and their mailbox and maybe their kid along with it. Well, obviously, if you cause property damage or bodily injury, a liability policy is triggered to compensate those individuals that have been harmed. But when Josh is going through these other ones like injunctive relief or declaratory relief, no one's really coming to the city and saying, hey, we want $1 million because you ran over my kid. What they're really saying is, hey, we don't want the bus stop here. So we're filing an injunction to stop you, or we don't like the decision that the council made. And so we are seeking declaratory relief. We want a court to tell us if you can do that or not. That's not normally what a liability policy is for. A liability policy is there to indemnify or make whole, pay people back that have lost something. They've lost their sibling. They've lost property. They've got property damage. So that's why when Josh says these aren't things that are normally touched in a commercial insurance policy, it's because they're just so foreign. The reason why we have some defense costs in here for these things is because the only entities that we insure are municipalities. And so we've seen many, many, many dozens and even hundreds of land use claims and injunctive relief type suits that have come in. And we want to help try to provide a defense for our membership. And so that's what we've done. So again, it's something that you may not encounter anytime soon, or maybe you will, but at least you have some legal defense there to defend you. And hopefully that makes sense too. Did our explanations or descriptions of these things make sense?
Yes.
I'm good.
Okay.
Sounds perfect. Good. Well, thanks for hanging with us on those ones. I know that they take a little bit of an explanation. We want to just briefly review some of the services the trust provides. While we do provide insurance at the trust, it's a lot of our members will view it as a fraction of what we do because you only need the insurance if you have a claim. But our big business, the thing that we're best at is helping our members avoid claims. And so we provide resources to our members to help them do exactly that. The first one is training. Now, we offer an array of training that's available at the trust. We realize that you probably don't want to make a 5-hour drive just to come and attend a 4-hour training. And we have members all over the state. So we can do trainings on site, and that's certainly a service that we offer. And every once in a while, we do need to kind of canvass the state and do a lot of trainings on site. But meanwhile, we have an array of online training resources. These are resources that are available to you. We've got a learning management software. It's called Cantola, and another one called Streamery. They have preloaded courses on there, anywhere from sexual harassment, defensive driving, confined space entry, things that are related to exposures that cities regularly deal with. And then the trust has also provided an array of content as well. We're always producing content with our loss prevention team. And we also record the trainings that are put on at the trust, and we put those videos onto our YouTube channel. And right now we have over 260 different videos that are uploaded, and we're always adding more. So the other item that I want to mention is our legal hotline. Our legal hotline is another resource that we have to help members avoid getting to the point where they have a claim. We've utilized our legal hotline from anything from HR resources, where somebody's looking at the proper way to terminate employment, up to civil rights disputes, anything under the sun. Ryan mentioned it earlier. We've seen everything from A to Z, and we have legal hotline resources to help with that. And essentially, if you have a pressing issue, if you have something that's concerning you that you worry that the town could be sued for, we want to put you in touch with an attorney, and not just any attorney. We want to make sure that we're getting you in front of the right attorney pertaining to the issue. And so here's a couple of attorneys here that we work with regularly, but we have a wide variety of attorneys that we work with, and we're familiar with the issues that municipalities are facing, and we want to make sure we're pointing you in the right direction. This is a hotline that you use, that's used quite frequently. We've seen it as very valuable. Our members see it as very valuable, and it's one of the many resources that we provide. Those are the two that I wanted to cover and kind of go over with you that stick out. But just so you know, we do a few other things. We do property appraisals every 5 to 6 years. We have a commercial property appraiser coming out that uses the standard software. You may be familiar with Marshall and Swift, which is proprietary software for doing property appraisals. And we try to do that for our members every 5 to 6 years, just to make sure that they're comfortable with where their values are at. And that obviously with market changes and inflation, we want to make sure that our buildings are insured adequately as well. So,
and these, this probably goes without saying, but the legal hotline, the trainings that Josh mentioned, the property appraisals that we do, there's no fees for those. So just as an example, UTA, Utah Transit Authority is a trust member. And, you know, they're looking at, hey, should we trend the values of our property for insurance purposes? Kind of like when the value of your home goes up, you call your insurance agent and say, hey, I think my home is worth more, raise the value in case it burns down. And so rather than have them guess at the values, we can provide a property appraisal free of charge by certified appraisers, you know, just like Josh mentioned, to get that done for you. So over time, you know, the city, the town, it will continue to grow. And as it does, you know, we can accommodate that as you grow. And, you know, if your staff kept getting bigger and bigger, we can accommodate that. Train your people and get you guys what you need.
One other thing too is we try to do safety inspections as well. We have a loss prevention team, and they will come down and kind of take a look at your premises as if they were OSHA. And they'll give you recommendations afterwards, areas that you might have that could be possible blind spots. But they also will inspect any playgrounds, common areas, parks, things like that, to make sure that everything's being maintained properly, that there's no exposures that could potentially injure the community or anybody that's visiting. And we found it to be a really great add-on to reduce risk within our pool as well. So I'm going to go over the premium with you. I know that you guys have a copy of your incumbent proposal, but I want to obviously leave you guys with a premium. This is your total premium. This is everything that it includes. So this is your liability, your autos, your property, your earthquake, your flood, your cybersecurity coverage, your pollution coverage, and your crime coverage. So that's our full package premium right there. Again, we did an apples to apples comparison on coverage. So we took the coverage that you had and we improved upon it. We brought in a lot of coverage that you don't have, and we increased your limits while also reducing your deductibles. And I think we are also reducing your premium as well. So that is our full presentation. We have provided Judy a copy of this on PDF. She's welcome to distribute that to everybody so that you have a copy as well. And anyways, we're at the end, and we're here to answer any questions that anyone might have.
Okay, anybody? That was a good presentation.
I might just add that anytime any of you would like to talk insurance, because we know that's something that people commonly like to do, you can call us on like Friday and Saturday nights, and we're happy to talk insurance for a couple hours. I don't think anyone's going to take us up on that.
Josh, this is Peg. I was curious what your land use coverage was on that one line, land use.
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. So are you guys, maybe let me share an example of a land use claim. This one is one that's famous at the trust, and a lot of people have asked, what is land use? What kind of claims would those involve? And the reason I'm going to bring this one up to you is this is one that stung a little bit. And land use can be a variety of different things. But in this particular instance, there is a city in southern Utah that's very, they hold very strong heritage and not allowing any franchises into the city. And they hold pride in that. And every place that you could stop and eat, all the service providers there, all the little companies, they're mom and pop and they're local. And a couple years ago, one of the locals said, I'm going to start a sandwich shop. And they got a business license and they were upfront about wanting to start a sandwich shop. And right before they were getting ready to open, a Subway sign went over that sandwich shop. And that was breaking a major bylaw, an ordinance within the city. However, it's also it's a land use claim. It just is.
Illegal ordinance, by the way.
Yeah, it was an illegal ordinance. You can't really prohibit a business. We've even seen them where this is years and years ago, but where like someone on the council owns a business and a competitor will come in and want to set up shop kitty corner, and they will prohibit that business from coming in. That's less commonplace now, but you know, back in the wild, wild west days of the trust, we'd see stuff like that. So those are examples of land use claims where somebody is saying, hey, this is what I want to do with, you know, my business or the lease that I have or this property that I own. And the city's telling me I can't do that. And so we defended this case for the city. We felt it was the right thing to do to resolve it. And we did resolve it. And that Subway is still there today. And there's also a McDonald's now as well. So they changed the ordinance to accommodate business owners and to be in line with, a more sound policy that doesn't get them in trouble in the future. So
there could be, but we've seen lots of random things like the city built a paved walkway, you know, right across someone's property, not realizing that it was someone's property. And we've seen all kinds of stuff. And we'll mention too that the intent of the land use defense coverage isn't there so that all of our county commissions and city councils can be reckless and just change the zoning on that. Oh, we don't want these guys coming into town. Let's change the zoning to agricultural so that, you know, and whatever. I mean, it's not really there so that you can just do whatever you want. You know, it's there to defend you because maybe you don't always know what you're doing, quite frankly. And so what we do to try to avoid claims is we do a lot of training, like Josh mentioned. So just literally yesterday, we had the Utah Property Ombudsman's Office out of Salt Lake on a webinar training with us that we presented to all of our members, you know, throughout the state. They could just jump online and watch it. And we were able to go through some of these common land use pitfalls, you know, things to avoid if you're a city council making decisions. You know, what do we need to avoid so we don't get sued for someone, you know, for messing with someone's property rights? And so we do those land use trainings regularly. We partner up with the Ombudsman's Office regularly as well. We record those so you can go back and watch them. But we also, you know, keep doing them too, because new statutes are always coming out and new laws and everything. And so we're constantly trying to educate our membership.
Great. Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
My name is Elizabeth Juliet. I'm on town council. I guess with currently what's going on in the climate and just high risk of it, as well as we have a local fire council that has requested additional information about insurance regarding fire. And I know that there was flood and other natural disasters were included, but is there anything either in the current package or the ability to add on with fire insurance?
That's a really good question. Fire is actually a common peril covered by insurance, and it's one of our common perils. Flood and earthquake are common exclusions within insurance, and that's why we kind of made an issue of the flood and the earthquake, because we are bringing coverage in that's commonly excluded. But fire is that is a common coverage peril, covered peril. So you do have fire as well.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah, absolutely.
And occasionally wind, we had a couple of big wind storms over the last few years. And wind is another covered peril that can wreak havoc. And so, you, of course, you have that coverage as well.
And we know that you guys experience wind. I know all about the wind that you guys get down there.
Steve Johnson, Josh, are there any other exclusions that we should be aware of?
Well, if an alien were to come and abduct you, that is excluded. You know, we haven't seen any evidence of alien abductions. So I'm trying to think if we have any exclusions that are very, that kind of stand out.
I would say just intentional acts, but that's common of really any insurance policy anywhere, like assault and battery, right? You know, you really couldn't have an employee go out and beat someone up in the name of the city and then say, okay, I'm just going to go beat him up and the trust will pay for all the hospital bills. You know, so intentional acts like that are not intended to be covered by any type of insurance policy. So there's those types of things. But I would say that there's nothing that you would traditionally expect to be covered that wouldn't be. So,
yeah, and there's nothing, our policy is a lot more broad than a lot of the other commercial policies out there. We tend to bring in coverage in areas that are generally excluded, like malfeasance. Malfeasance is a very common exclusion. We provide the obviously defense costs. We provide a trigger for that there to be able to provide defense around malfeasance. The earthquake and flood, like I said before, that's a common exclusion that we bring coverage back in on for our members. So I would say that our policy, without a shadow of a doubt, brings in coverage more and has far less exclusions than what you typically see. Ryan and I regularly attend insurance continuing education to maintain our licenses and to maintain the designations that we have. And they speak in commercial terms. And we've noticed that our policies seem to be much more broad than the common general commercial brand policies are.
I will mention too, though, if you have a risk that is unique, and this is more common of bigger entities, but if you have a really unique risk, we still have full access to the commercial insurance market. And so, you know, just as an example of that, St. George City, that's one of our members, they have large scale power generation that they provide down there. And it's so large that it really requires a specialty policy. I mean, they have about $130 million power generation facility. And so while their other coverage is on trust paper, they have their power generation coverage on specialty insurance paper in the marketplace. And we accommodate that and really act as a liaison in that way. And so, you know, if anything pops up down the road that is out of the norm, just call us. Just call Josh and say, hey, Josh, we're going to have the mayor jump out of an airplane on the 4th of July. She's going to throw candy to all the kids. How do we get this covered? And, yeah, we'll say, just don't do it, you know, but truly we can find coverage for about anything that you'd possibly need if it's available.
You guys know that Panguitch does that hot air balloon festival. We will provide specialty coverage for them for that event. Salina does one. So there are certain types of things like aviation that we do require specialty policies on that we can do. So just keep that in mind.
We've even done event insurance. You know, we've had some, like it was Saratoga Springs or Eagle Mountain was having a country music star come out and they wanted to be paid whether the show went on or even if inclement weather prevented the show from going on, they wanted to be paid. And so we got a policy in place for them that in the event of inclement weather, they would have to pay the country music star, and the insurance policy would reimburse the city for those costs. So if there's anything really weird or unique like that, you just give us a call and let us know, and we'll help you out.
Well, good job, you guys. And incidentally, I don't get higher than the third rung on a ladder, so there's no to worry about me jumping out of a plane.
All right. Well, we like to hear that.
Any more questions before we let these guys go?
No, thank you for providing a thorough presentation and providing a hard copy to Judy.
Yeah, and I'll get it out to all the council members too. I knew you were going to have it up on the screen, so I didn't scramble to do that. And anyway, thank you, you two. Really appreciate it. You did a really, really good job. And we have to make a decision within the next really quick, short time. So we will be getting back with you. And I'll give you a call on the phone one way or another and let you know, but it looks pretty good on my side of it. I can't speak for anybody else. I'm really tickled that you were able to come in and not only reduce our premium, but give us a lot more. So we'll talk it over and decide what we're going to do, and we'll get back to you. Thank you.
Sounds good. And just, you know, we appreciate your time. We appreciate all the effort that went into helping us put this quote together. Judy and other members of the city staff certainly had to hustle around and get us some underwriting documents. We're at the point now where if you do decide to bind coverage, we're just a signature away. So if any other questions come up, if you need to pull us back onto a phone call or anything like that, don't hesitate to reach out.
All right. Thank you so much, Josh. Thanks, Ryan.
I just have one final request. If you guys end up going with the trust, I want to come with Josh down there because I love that area and I needed an excuse to fish down there. So Josh, I'm committing you to bring me with you next time you go down there.
Sounds good.
I'll do you better. I'll even take you guys fishing if you come down.
Deal. Yeah, we're all in on that. That'd be awesome.
Deal.
He's the right guy.
Yeah, sign us up.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks everyone. Have a good evening.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Judy, thank you for coordinating that and getting the presentation. It's really helpful to have them talk it through as opposed to just reading a hard copy of something. So it was really informative. Thank you.
Yeah, it really was. I thoroughly enjoyed working with him. He's been a joy to work with. Okay, so what we may have to do, because we may have to have another quick special meeting, I'm going to check with Camille tomorrow. I tried, after I talked to Elizabeth about it, in order to vote for the insurance. So let me get with Camille first thing in the morning. I will shoot you all an email. If we do in fact have to have put it out to the public, I will know first thing tomorrow morning, okay? But we got to move on this because I want to, UDOT is working with us to get the permit, and then the insurance will have to give us a permit to submit to UDOT.
Yeah.
So UDOT can't finalize it till we get that. So we really got to jump on this. And had I known that, I'd have treated it a little bit different. But after talking to Camille, I didn't think it was necessary. But I'm not taking a chance. I am double checking with her tomorrow morning. I'll get hold of all of you and we'll take it from there. And then when we do that special meeting, we will discuss the 4th of July also. Anybody got any questions?
Nope, thank you.
Nope.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Judy, before you guys leave, can I say something here?
Yeah, Pat.
Okay, so for you guys to take a vote on anything, you do need to do it in a public meeting. You can't take a vote here. I mean, this was fine tonight with what happened, but to make a decision on anything, it has to be in a public meeting. So 24-hour notice to put out to the public. It can be on Zoom if you want. That's not the issue. It's the public notice. So just be aware. And then
even on insurance, huh?
In any vote that you take, okay. That is approving expenditure.
Well, I misunderstood her then. So, well, in that case,
the presentation itself was not a problem. So that's fine. And then if you are going to discuss anything else like 4th of July, obviously that's an agenda. So there'd be an agenda to that, and it would be a public meeting posted, 24-hour notice.
Okay, just 24-hour?
Yes.
Okay, that so by tomorrow we can get that all done, and it could be Monday.
Yes.
How's everybody with Monday for a quick meeting?
It's possible it would be hard for me. Wednesday or Thursday would be much better for me because of other obligations.
Okay. Well, if we have a quorum, the thing about it, Elizabeth, we got to get it done quick so we can get it to you, Doc.
I will not be in town. I'll be in New Mexico. So I can try to Zoom if I have it. So
how long will you be gone?
Till Tuesday.
Okay. And Monday is also bad for Gladys.
All right. What about Tuesday?
Tuesday is okay for Gladys.
Tuesday is possible for me, but I'm in Panguitch all day. And the last time I didn't get home until 8:00. It was an all-day meeting, and I just don't know when I'm going to get home. And I'm nervous about the point I not finding a connection between Panguitch and here if it's a 7:00 meeting. And I don't know how long I'll be in Panguitch for. That's why Wednesday would be the best for me.
All right, let me get hold of you, Dot. That's the only thing. I'll get hold of you, Dot, but we may have to go. Oh, pardon me. We may have to go that route. How's Wednesday for everybody else?
Wednesday is perfect.
Yes. Works for me.
Gladys? Wednesday's okay for Gladys.
All right. Let's shoot for Wednesday, and I'll get hold of you, Dot, and let him kind of know what's going on. Okay?
Yeah, and then it's nice because we can get an agenda and all the public notice out, you know, at least 48 hours, you know, and that's, you know, if we post everything by Monday, it lets the public know.
Yeah, that's good.
So do we want to plan on Wednesday 7 p.m.?
Yeah, we can go that route.
Do we want to do Zoom only, or do we want an in-person option?
Zoom only.
Zoom only, Gladys.
Sounds good to me. I think it works well if everyone's on Zoom or nobody is, but
right.
All right, let's Zoom it. It makes it quick.
Yep.
Okay.
You good?
And then
Peg?
Jim, if you're gonna put anything on the agenda, will you just get us if we need to look at anything, just you know, by Monday?
Right. And all I have for the 4th is just a bunch of updates and a couple of questions. So
awesome. Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm getting questions from a lot of people wondering what's going on because they're going to be coming to town and they want to know what to expect.
Can I ask you that? I can ask you that same thing. No, I'm just playing, Judy. No, I know. I'm trying to get everything put together for a schedule. I asked Judy if she could find an old schedule from the year before because I cannot find one, no matter I've tried. So if any of you guys or ladies find one, it would help just for a time frame of stuff.
Yeah, I can look and see if I have anything old, and if I do, I'll send it to you. Because at one point, I know that I've participated in the program, so I know at some point I had a copy.
Right.
I'll send you whatever I can find tomorrow.
Is 4th of July going to be on the 4th of July, or is it going to be Saturday of the 2nd?
It's on the 2nd.
Okay.
All right, so we will see each other on Zoom on Wednesday at 7, and anything that we need to be prepared, we'll have by Monday.
Correct.
Okay.
All righty. Have a blessed night, you guys.
Thank you.
Good night.
It is adjourned. All in favor?
No voting, remember?